Anointing, and that is where we want to be, in the presence of Almighty God. We are so glad you've joined us today for Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, and it is a gorgeous, sunny, hot day in Clearwater, Florida, and the water is clear. It really is.
It is.
Yeah, when you drive by, you see it, don't you?
But you could fry an egg on the sidewalk.
Yeah, it's one of those hot ones today. So that's all right. We are going to have a hot time on the radio today.
Hallelujah.
Talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
The Prince of Peace, Almighty God. It's going to be an exciting show. We're glad you've joined us today. And if you are in the Tampa Bay area and want to switch over to the internet, it is a great thing to do. And you can catch us on www.tantalk1340.com if you're listening on the radio. And even those in the other states now that receive this radio show live, and there are several states that do that, you can also, if you prefer, go over to www.tantalk1340.com and you will see us and hear us live. We're excited to be here today. We've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And we're going to continue that today, and I am joined by two of our radio team, Alice to my left.
Hello.
Hello. And Deb to my right.
Hello.
Yes, and Nana's in the studio, too, to my front, right over there. It's kind of southeast corner, whatever that is. Okay. So we're just glad you're all here, and we're excited about what God's going to do today. It's been a kind of a hard week, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah.
It's been busy.
It's been busy? Yes, it has been busy. Why has it been a hard week, Alice?
We've had a lot going on. We've had a member of our congregation, Miss Jeannie, passed away.
Yes.
She was the oldest member of our congregation.
Right.
And so we spent quite a bit of time with her in the hospital, in hospice and all that.
And you did. You spent a lot of time with her. Was it a joy and a privilege?
It was. It really was. It was a wonderful experience to be able to be there for her.
Yes.
And
God had to move you all the way back from Houston, though, to do this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm so glad that he did. I am so
the
glad
timing.
That he did.
Wasn't the timing interesting?
The timing was perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it was such a joy to see the joy that Miss Jeannie had.
Right.
Even in her, you know, last days here on earth, she was still praising God and excited about seeing Jesus.
Yes, she was. And there seemed to be no fear. You know, she just was kind of relaxed in his presence and knowing that she was about to enter glory and eternity. And she had her full mind, you know, up until the last day when she was pretty much asleep, you know,
right,
and struggling, but not really struggling. I mean, she was at peace. I mean, she was not in pain.
No,
and we
she
thank
was not,
God
not
for
in
that.
Pain. Not in pain.
And Jeannie, for some of our listening audience, has been a part of the ministry at Beacon of Hope since we began. And she suffered from COPD and diabetes and had been on dialysis 6 years. And had gone through an awful lot physically, several surgeries, some of those that didn't turn out very well, open heart surgery, you name it, Jeannie had it just about. But she also had an incredible attitude, didn't she, Deb? Do you want to comment on that? Because you also were with her a lot in the last couple weeks of her life.
The one thing about Jeannie is that I think you said it best in her funeral when you said, if, you know, there was a photograph next to the word hope or next to the word faith in the dictionary, it would be Jeannie. Because she never lost faith in God. She never lost hope in what God was going to do for her and right. bring to her. And she was a poster child for faith and trust in God.
Oh,
she
absolutely.
Taught so many of the members of our congregation,
right.
you know, what it was like to truly believe that God was in control of everything.
Oh, absolutely she did.
And,
yes.
And she also made believers out of a lot of people where prayer was concerned, because
yeah.
I don't know how many times that Jeannie was beaten on death's door. The
right.
doctors were like, you know, call everybody together. She's not going to make it. And I think we have a new term for what Jeannie was doing. She was laying there going, psych, I'm here. I mean,
right.
she would be totally out of it. And we
yeah.
thought she was going to die.
Right.
And,
she came right back.
And she came right back.
Our little Energizer
so many
bunny.
Times.
Yes.
And she was just such a light.
She had a will to live. She
had
really
such a
did.
Will to
yeah.
live. And, you know, I said the other day that, you know, there's that song out there called Angels Among Us. And
right.
it's one thing to listen to the song, but it's something totally different to know somebody like Jeannie. And I truly believe that she was one of God's angels among us. She helped so many people conquer their fears, get over, you know, people in her service were talking about, you know, helping them get over their addictions. And
right.
she just, it was all about God's word and God's walk in her life, and she just was just awesome
she
lady.
She loved the Lord.
She
loved the Lord. Did she, Alice, do you want to comment on how much she loved coming to church?
she would be there if it was physically possible for
right.
her to be there.
Right.
She would be there.
Exactly.
It got to the point where, you know, she couldn't sit comfortably in a chair. She wasn't comfortable sitting in her wheelchair. So we actually had her recliner brought in, and it was there for her to use when she came.
Right.
And she would sit in her recliner at church.
Right. Exactly. Because she had such a desire to be
right.
with God's people, but also just to be in the presence of the Lord.
Right, right.
I mean, she just wanted to be there.
I mean, I thought it was amazing, you know, in the hospital, and again in hospice, you know, we would think, oh, well, you know, she's sleeping, she's resting, whatever. And, you know, we'd start, you know, quietly singing some praise songs.
Oh, yeah.
And she starts singing along.
She'd start singing.
And we're like, okay,
all
well,
the time.
She's still with us.
Exactly. So many times she would be mouthing the words.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we could actually hear her singing,
yep.
and sometimes it was just she was mouthing the words. But we just want to thank God for the life and the memory of our dear Jeannie Brewer and what she's meant to so many of us.
Yeah, I feel very privileged to have known her.
Yes, absolutely. This has been a tough week in another respect. We have a large group of people that listen to our radio show from Indiana, from the area where I used to pastor. And this week on Monday, we lost one of my sheep up there, Sheila Duvall, who went to be with the Lord after some illness and some serious stuff going on in her life. And she was a very special person. And for her family and relatives that are listening today, we want you to know that we've been praying for all of you as you go through this difficult time, especially her children,
Amen.
Jennifer and Bobby and their spouses and families and so forth. So it's been a rough week in that regard. And I even lost my grand dog, Lucy, this week. It was Lucy went to be with the Lord, and she was a sweet little Maltese and was the dog of my daughter-in-law and of course, my son and the kids. So, you know, it's just been one of those weeks where we are very aware of how near we all are
mm-hmm.
to the presence of the Lord and how at any time God can call us home. And what a joy it is to know that we are doing all we know to do to serve the Lord right here during the time that we have. And I don't know about you, Deb, but that just really gets to me, knowing that God's got a work for us to do, and I want to give it all I have, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's very appropriate that God brought us back when he did.
Yes,
because,
from Houston.
Because, you know, the day after Jeannie passed,
right.
well, the day of her funeral, we had been back exactly a month.
Exactly a month, yeah.
And from the time we hit the ground here, you know, in May, 1st of May, there were other things that we were doing, but it seemed like it was nonstop taking care of Jeannie.
Right.
Because she was in the hospital, then she got out, and then she went back in. And
three times.
You know, it was like, okay, you know. And the funny thing is the whole reason that we've been looking for a reason to move back, but the whole reason that even got us to move when we moved evaporated.
Right.
You know, in the form of a promised job. You know, but I know that God brought us back here. That was the dangle, the carrot in front of us.
Right,
that got
you out the door.
Let's go, you know. And I know that he brought us back here so that we could spend that whole month with Jeannie. And I wouldn't trade that for anything in the world. And I just have to say, Alice was talking about her singing, you know. I know when I die, I know that I'm going to the arms of Jesus. I have no doubt whatsoever.
Right.
But I have to be honest and say that the fear of the unknown, even though I know where I'm going, the process that you have to go through to get there is pretty scary.
Yeah.
I hope that I have 10% of what Jeannie had.
That courage.
Because she knew that, you know, once she decided to stop dialysis, she knew that her days were numbered.
Right.
She never seemed afraid. She never seemed sad. And even though they were doing everything they could to make her comfortable, there were times when she was struggling so hard to breathe. And she would lay there and say, I just want to breathe. And we'd be praying over her. We'd be singing. And she's trying to breathe, and she's singing.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, how do you do this?
Exactly.
You know, and it's all God's will.
Exactly.
It's all the strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Right.
That's Jeannie.
That was Jeannie.
So I just,
we wanted to give a little tribute to her at the beginning of this show. She used to listen to the show all the time when she was able back a few years back. But so because of her, and this was her favorite song, we're going to start the show today with her favorite song, In the Garden by Anne Murray.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God disclosed. His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy
praise God. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And that was Jeannie's favorite song. And He does walk with us and talk with us. Go with us to John chapter 14 right now. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister with Alice and Deb here on the show with me today. John chapter 14, starting about verse 15. And Jesus began to really tell the disciples what was about to happen. Now, they had a hard time understanding what was about to happen, but He began to explain to them that they were about to have a replacement. Instead of Him in their lives, He was going to go away. Now, of course, they were having a hard time with that and didn't quite understand it. So we look at John 14, verse 15. He says, "If you love me," I'm in the Message Bible, "show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and He'll provide you another friend." And we have talked about this friend the last couple weeks. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit, the friend. The friend is the Spirit of truth, it says right here. And interesting, above there, it says He'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. And that is really cool. Here's what the Holy Spirit does, guys. He's with you all the time.
Amen.
And that's one reason I think that was Jeannie's favorite song. He walks with me and He talks mm-hmm. with me. And it's just like all the time He's there. And He's not going anywhere. He's always there. And it says here, the friend is the Spirit of truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I know I need truth in my life. We all need truth, right? We
right.
need to know, what does God really think about me? What does God really think about my situation? What does God think about the issues I'm dealing with? And what is so cool is that the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of truth. And He comes and speaks truth to us and reveals truth to us. In the Message Bible here, the godless world can't take Him in because it doesn't have eyes to see Him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know Him already because He's been staying with you and will even be in you. And for some of you who may not have caught the last couple weeks of our teaching, in the Old Testament, those were days where the Spirit of God would visit. It would come down on certain people, certain prophets, evangelists, mostly prophets and kings. Saul, the Spirit of God came down on Saul different times. David, Samson, Gideon. And we call that a visitation culture, where God visited His people. Okay, in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we come to a time and place where things are totally different. After Jesus goes back to heaven, where He is now, by the way, seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, when that happened, we started a new way of living here on this earth, and it is called habitation culture. First culture of the Old Testament is visitation culture, where the Holy Spirit would visit on some people, selective people. Not everybody was visited in the Old Testament. Lots of people weren't. But now, with the New Testament, with Jesus going back to heaven, and I love this, this is now habitation culture, mm-hmm. where the Holy Spirit comes and lives. It says right here in John 14, verse 17, He lives with us, and He lives in us. That's why that song, He Walks With Me.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that, you know, that we have somebody here with us all the time. You know, I know there's so many times in my life that I felt lonely and alone. And I feel like I'm the only one here. I'm by myself. I'm walking. I'm going through all this stuff by myself.
Right.
And that's not true, because the Holy Spirit is there with us.
Ooh.
The Holy Spirit is there walking with us, helping guide us if we'll listen.
If we'll listen. That's interesting. if we'll listen.
Helping guide us through
that's right.
life.
Right.
And helping to mold us into the person that God intended for us to be.
And that's a great point, Alice. And I think so often, though, we do not understand that we live in this habitation culture where he lives inside of us. And I think that's why that song that we just played, Jeannie's favorite song, he walks with me and he talks to me and he tells me I am his own. How significant that is for our individual lives. Comment on that, please.
Knowing that you're not alone.
Right.
Knowing that there's always someone there.
Ooh.
Is big to anyone.
Right.
You know, and yeah, you've got your best friend, you got your brothers, your sisters, your parents, but the relationship that you have with Jesus, the relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit, that's yours and yours alone.
Right.
You can say anything to the Holy
Spirit.
Anything?
Are you sure about that?
Anything.
Absolutely.
You know, you can tell him like it is, and you know, it's he's not going to sit there and shake his finger at you and make ugly faces and tell you how bad you are and how you screwed up. He's going to listen to what you have to say, and he's going to be there to help you sort it out. He's going to show you the things that you need to see.
Right.
You know, he's going to put it in front of you.
Right.
And if you don't get it the first time, he's going to continue to put it up in front of you until you do get it.
And so often we are creatures that are a little bit stubborn and just a little bit rebellious, and maybe just a little bit hard-headed. Of course, none of us have ever been like
never,
that, have we?
Never,
Alice,
never,
never, never,
never.
Well, that's
no.
good. All right, and now we're aligned. So now it's time to repent of the line, all right, and for us to realize that, yes, we are by nature hard-headed.
But see, that's the cool thing.
Yeah.
We can sit here and go, no, no, not me, not me. And the Holy Spirit's going, yeah.
Yeah, you.
Sure, yeah, you. Yeah, you.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, yes, we do need to repent of our misgivings and our lying and whatever. But the point is that you can't pull anything over on the Holy Ghost.
He knows it all, doesn't he?
He knows it all. And he knows what you're going to do before you do it.
And what is so cool here is Jesus says, you think it's cool I've been here. This is my paraphrase now. You think it's cool I've been here for these years, walking among you, teaching you for the last 3 years. You think that's cool. You just wait. I've got this super surprise in store for you.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think it's cool? Jesus was saying that I've been here walking and teaching you. But this that's coming, the one that's coming after me, Jesus said, is the one who's going to live in you and will be with you. You see, only a few select people got to walk this earth with Jesus when he was here. Not very many. Not very many actually got to meet him. I mean, there were several thousand that sat and listened to his teaching, you know, on the Mount of you know, when he sat and gave the Beatitudes and mm-hmm. gave all the teachings and all of that. There was a lot of people who came and were fed, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, the 7,000 and all that. There were a lot of that. 4,000, I'm sorry. 5,000 and then 4, not 7. But there were a lot of people who did sit and enjoy the teaching.
But they didn't have the opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with him.
Exactly. Have you ever been to a concert, and I know you have,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting there and you're listening to the music, and it's like, wow, that's really good. But you don't have an opportunity to go backstage and meet that person or
right.
that group, you know, because you're like, you don't know anybody important enough to get you back there, right?
Right.
You know, so you think, wow, that was a cool concert. Wish I could get to know that person a little bit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Well, and you know, at the end, you know, there were the 120 that were, you know, in the upper room.
Right.
But even of that 120 that knew Jesus, that
right.
could actually say, you know, I knew him, I touched him.
Right.
There was only really the 11 disciples left that really had the one-on-one conversation with
Absolutely.
Him. You know, short of his mother being there or,
yeah.
you know.
And she was in that group. And there
were
some.
And so were Mary Magdalene.
Right.
But, you know, the disciples were the ones that had that one-on-one with him.
Right. Absolutely.
That every day that knew him as best as he could be known.
Absolutely.
You know?
But such a difference when you know about somebody and when you know them. Huge difference, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's like this situation. You know, people are listening in the radio.
Right.
Right? And they hear Pastor Marcia.
Right.
And they hear her every Sunday. They listen. And they get to know you through the messages that you teach.
Right.
But they don't know you on the same level as, you know, somebody that comes
from
over
our congregation.
Congregation that has dealings with you on a regular basis and
right.
You know, or your closest friends on a day-to-day basis, that sort of thing.
Right. And so Jesus is saying, okay, this has been good, but wait, I'm sending you something better, you know? And he is the Spirit of truth. And he goes on to say, and the word that he uses there, the friend, is so huge, because the word friend in the original Greek is parakletos. And we've said this different times, but it is really good. It means one called alongside to help.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's what God has done by sending the Holy Spirit to live in us and among us. He has sent us somebody to help us, you know?
Right. He sent us somebody that we can have that day-to-day walk, that one-on-one conversation, that we can go, hey, dude, check that out, you know?
Right.
When, you know, whatever, that we can just have that, build that relationship with.
Right. It's all about relationship. You know, the relationship aspect of the Holy Spirit is profound.
Yes.
Because we as human beings have had many hurts. Can anybody relate to that?
Yep. Yes.
We've had many disappointments.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We've had many times of rejection where somebody has rejected us and walked away from us and hurt us and said awful things.
Yep.
We have times where we have felt abandoned, perhaps. Mm-hmm. There are some of you out there listening today who were abandoned as a baby and put up for adoption or, you know, given away or whatever the case may be. So often we have gone through tremendous hurts and emotional trauma, and we feel very alone. And I'm sure there are people listening today that have come to a place in their life where they just feel alone, like nobody really cares about them.
Yeah, I'm sure there are a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people like that.
Yeah, you're looking to give me that look.
Well, because don't you think there really are?
There really are. And you know, I can relate to it because I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time in my life where I felt very alone, and I know I've talked about this many times, but you know, I felt very alone. I felt God had abandoned me. I felt that there was no reason to go on with life and all that sort of thing. And thank God I realized it was a lie of the devil, you know, that God
was there.
But
it took you a while to realize that, right?
It took me a good 2 years to realize
that. And see, that's something go ahead. We'll talk about that, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, it took a while. But once I realized that it wasn't that God had abandoned me, but that I had turned from God, that's when I began to realize, oh, you know, maybe is he still there? And
you realized you had done the one that had,
I had been
turned away?
Had the one, I am the one that, in fact, kind of rejected God. I didn't trust him.
Right.
Not that I, you know, completely turned away. I mean, I knew he was there, but I didn't trust him to take care of the issues I was trying to deal with.
Wow.
I didn't know how to trust
him. So you were trying to deal with him yourself?
Yes.
Without any help?
Yes.
And, ooh, don't we all do that? I mean, don't we?
Seriously. We do.
Because you're giving me that look, you know, says you're guilty. Yeah. Guilty is charged.
We all try to do that because, you know, we live in a world where all this information is available to us on the internet, TV, whatever. And they say, oh, well, if you feel this way, take this pill, you'll feel better.
That's
feel
right.
This way, do this thing, and you'll feel better. Well, there's more to it than that. I'm not saying that medication can't help because I know it helped me.
Right.
You know, I firmly believe that God gives doctors and pharmacists and chemists knowledge so that immediate symptoms can be dealt with.
And I agree with that. We are not against medicine or therapy or anything like that. But go ahead.
But, you know, I think with all this knowledge that's out there, we begin to think, okay, well, I'm having this problem, and this TV ad said to do this, so I'm going to try that. And then, oh, well, this TV ad said to do that, or I
right.
saw this on the internet, this article said to do that, and we forget to turn to God.
Absolutely.
It's like we try everything else that's out there.
And that is a huge point. That is such a good point.
We look at God last. It's
right.
Like, that's kind of
last
backwards.
Resort.
Shouldn't God be our first resort?
But why does that happen? And by the way, if you want to weigh in on this discussion, we have internet up now, and you can email me personally right here to the station, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com, and it'll come right here, and we can get your comment or your question. But why is it this way, Alice, that we so often resort to everything, and usually it is. And for a lot of people, it is a substitute for the real peace of God that they need. And it is in the form of addictions, mm-hmm. Pills, alcohol, whatever the case may be. Something to actually take the pain away, you know?
I could sugarcoat this, but I'm not going to.
All right.
The bottom line is Satan is a liar.
That's right.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
And Satan will do anything he can do to not have you rely on God.
Exactly. Huge
and
point.
Unfortunately, the majority of us will fall for Satan's tricks.
Totally we fall.
You
totally.
Know, and that's okay. All of us do. It's okay. But we have to remember that God is there.
Yes.
And when we find ourselves falling for Satan's tricks, if we will say, whoa, wait a minute, stop. I know that God is here with me. The Holy Spirit is here with me. He is my comforter. He is my guide through this life.
Yes.
Let me pray. Let me read the word. Let me get into a church. Let me try those things first.
Right. I so agree with you. You want to comment on this? Because I really feel a lot of our listening audience struggles with these same things that a lot of us have, is to depend on a substance or a habit like gambling or something to take the edge off of whatever they're feeling right now and to just kind of smooth it out. Like shopping. There's people addicted to shopping, you
oh,
know?
Yeah. That if they could, that could easily be me.
Really? That could easily be you? But there's a lot of people that are addicted to some type of thing like that, that in order to escape facing what is really going on. Go ahead, Pastor Deb, give your comment there.
For someone who does not have a relationship with God, I see the problem. I agree with what Alice is saying, but I also see the problem as one of being tangible versus not tangible.
Okay.
You know, it's real easy to go open a bottle of liquor and drink until you're in a stupor, and then you can fall asleep and not remember anything.
Right.
But it's not easy to fall on your knees, which you don't have to do that, but fall on your knees, whatever.
In your heart, you should fall on your
in
knees.
In your heart, you should, but, you know,
humble yourself before Almighty God.
To go, okay, God, you know, I had a fight with my wife, and,
yeah.
Because you don't, people are like, well, how do you pray? Do you have to use all the these and thous and whatever? You know, it's like, dude, hey, God, I'm here, okay? I screwed up. I had a fight with my wife, you know. I said some things I shouldn't have said, and please help me. And, you know, instead of going out to the bar and getting drunk and hee-hawing with your buddies, you know.
In other words, you face your issues, but you do it with the full knowledge that God is listening to you, and
exactly.
You talk to him and lay it out there. Here's what I'm dealing with, Almighty God. I need help.
Because in order to have that relationship with God, in order to talk over your junk with God, you have to put words to
right.
your junk. And
yeah.
you have to, you, as a friend of mine used to say, you have to name it and claim it.
There you go.
And going into a bottle of alcohol or popping a pill or going and getting a box of cookies, you know, that's not naming it and claiming it.
Right.
That's trying
that's to. It's a substitute.
It's a substitute. And so it's real hard, one, you know, for people that don't know God, well, I can't see God and I can't touch God. And how do I know God's real? That's real hard for anybody.
Right.
You know, But to name it and claim it, that's real hard. I mean, that's hard for us as God-believing, God-fearing Christians.
Well, because it's easier
right.
to just escape.
Right.
Escape is an easy form of dealing with things for a lot of people. And escape simply says, I'm not going to deal with this, really. I'm going to escape into this pill or whatever it is. Or sometimes it's just escape into a self-pity party.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be a substance. It can be an attitude of escape where we just retreat into feeling sorry for ourselves and we have a pity party that no one comes to, you know, because no one wants to be at that party.
Or
you know?
Escape to destructive behavior.
Right.
You know, I've seen that where people, you know, when, you know, things will happen in someone's life and instead of trying to solve the problem, they end up going and doing things that make things worse.
Exactly.
You know, it's like they're on a self-destruct mission.
Right. Well, and now we are told by Jesus, wait a minute, here's what wonderful thing is going to happen to you. We're in verse 17 of John chapter 14. He says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit who is going to be with you and will even be in you.
Uh-huh.
And I think so often we don't understand or realize or value that the Spirit of the living God that created the universe can and will take up residence on the inside of us. And oh my, isn't that an awesome thought of what he can and will do and wants to do, you know, in each of us.
Right.
Because that changes your life. When you begin to really get it that God lives on the inside of you, your motivations are different because you realize, wait a minute, I need to grow this relationship with God. I need to do something about it to make it blossom and grow and get stronger, you know? Ooh, hallelujah. Let's look at verse 18 of John 14. Jesus said this, I'll not leave you orphaned. I think that's cool because a lot of people do feel orphaned for whatever reason in their life. Maybe not just because a parent has walked out on them, but maybe for whatever reason they feel very, very alone. And some of you listening today, you may fit into that category. And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you like that. He says, I'm coming back. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me. Because he was preparing to go to the cross in just a couple days here. But you're going to see me because I am alive. You're about to come alive. I love that. That is us beginning to realize the relationship that Jesus wants to have with us.
Right.
And that he wants to bring us into a place of, wow, life. Not like, oh, alive, you know?
See, I like the way, what am I reading?
I'm in the Message. What are you
in? I'm in Life Application.
Okay. The King James?
New Living Translation.
New Living, okay.
And I like the way it says, you know, when I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Amen.
They knew, the disciples knew Jesus.
Right.
They had a personal relationship with them.
Exactly.
So this, to me, makes sense. That, you know, you will be in me because I'm going to take you with me in my heart.
Right.
Okay. And I am going to be in your heart.
Right.
So that's very tangible and it makes a lot of sense. Well, you know, we're not going to get to personally meet Jesus until we're called home.
Right.
But through God's word and how much God loves us, I love the way this verse is because, you know, yeah, they knew him, so they're going to have each other in their hearts. But you know what? Through these words, I know him.
Right.
And I have him in my heart
right.
through these words. And I just love the way that verse reads.
And the way Jeannie's favorite verse says, and he walks with me
and
he talks with me. You know? So it's not just that we know about God, but what happens here with the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which, by the way, calendar-wise would be next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And the coming of the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit descended on all those in the upper room with tongues of fire. That's Acts chapter 2. And what happened is suddenly God came upon them and moved inside them.
Right.
And it was no longer something they knew about the God, but they knew him because he lived on the inside of them. What do you want to say,
Alan? It was something they actually experienced. Rather than hearing
yes.
about it, they could actually experience God.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like if everybody were in their right mind, They would want to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, living on the inside of them to give them power, to give them a right mind,
right,
to give them health for their body, to give them the ability to work through their emotional junk. But not everybody feels that way. Why?
I don't. Well, number one, I don't think there's an understanding.
Okay, I think that's huge. I think a lot of people are ignorant to this fact. Right here,
there's a lack of understanding.
I agree.
I think the next biggest hurdle is fear.
Yes.
Because there is a lack of understanding. People are afraid of it because they don't understand it. You know, they kind of go hand in hand.
But yet they're not afraid to take a new prescription.
Well, no, because it's been endorsed by the FDA and Dr. Bob on channel whatever, you know.
Right, okay. It's because of that, right?
Right.
Because
there's that spokesperson speaking about this new medicine, or their personal doctor who, acting as a spokesperson, is recommending this medication.
Right. This will take care of it. This will take care of your depression and all that.
And they forget to go back to the main spokesperson,
exactly,
who is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Whose word is written down for us, mm-hmm, and it's there whenever we want to see it.
Right.
You know, we can turn on a TV, we can open our Bible, the choice
is ours. Absolutely.
But isn't it funny how, you know, pastor's talking about, yeah, but they'll take that pill. You know, they'll take that potion because there's, as you said, the spokesperson on TV. Yet, isn't it funny that there are millions of Christians, you know, that are spokespersons for God? But I find it very interesting that me being a spokesperson for someone where God is concerned, for the most part, people just kind of look at you like, what did you say? We're peculiar people.
Yes.
People look at you like you're nuts.
Right.
You know, and
but that has to do with authority. People don't recognize the authority of Jesus Christ. They recognize the authority of a medical degree.
Right.
But they don't recognize the authority of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And so often Christians don't do a very good job of selling their case.
True.
You know, because a lot of times we are afraid, back to that point, of what somebody will think of us if we say, could I just pray with you? And I've got to bring this example in right now at hospice last week with you, Alice, because we were there with Jeannie, some of us, for many, many hours at a time. And you went out on a little porch to relax for a couple minutes at some point, and a grieving family came out there.
Yes.
And you had the opportunity to talk about the Rays game that was on in the other room.
But I didn't.
But instead, you did what?
I asked if I could pray with them. And I, you know, that is not something that I would normally do because I tend to be very introverted around strangers. Anybody that really knows me knows that. It's easier on the radio because I don't see anybody but people I know.
Right.
But
But some people are watching you and they're seeing you right now.
Yeah,
Allison.
I'm not looking at the camera, so it's okay.
Okay.
All right. But I just felt led to ask if I could pray with them.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure how they would take it.
Right.
I wasn't sure if they would say, no, we don't believe in that, or, you know, leave us alone, this is our own private moment, whatever. But they were very receptive to me praying for them. And I didn't go, you know, into a big old Holy God, thou art so great, blah, blah, blah. No, I just, you know, I just
asked. You just prayed a very simple prayer,
asking for peace and comfort, and that was it. You know, and that's what I felt led to do.
Right.
You know, and
you were obedient to do it.
And I hope that you know, because of that, that they did find some peace and comfort.
Right, exactly.
Because, you know, it was a difficult situation.
Absolutely. So when Jesus, and one of the things that he said to the disciples, the most important thing he said to them over and over again, when he appeared to them during the 40 days after the resurrection, before he went to heaven, every time he came through the wall and started talking to them, you know, I love it because, you know, just zoop, there he was, kind of cool. Woo. And when he did, he would start everything with, peace I give to you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And he is all about peace. And when he says here in John 14, I'm going away, but I'm sending you the friend. In the original Greek, and we mentioned this last week, and I'm going to mention it again. Some of you may not have written it down. It means, the word friend there is parakletos in the original Greek, and it means seven things. So Jesus was saying, I'm sending you the sevenfold spirit of the living God, the seven spirits of God. And they are advocate, comforter. Boy, do we need that. We need an advocate.
Yes.
An advocate that's working for us behind the scenes. It's like an attorney. A comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, and he has done that for us. Even this week with the loss of Jeannie and my, the my loss with Sheila, and knowing that Jesus was able to give us comfort, even through the funeral service, able to get us through that, you know? He is our comforter, and he's our counselor. And I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people need some counseling by the Holy Spirit, don't you think? I mean, come on. Yeah, I do believe that. I mean, the best counseling in the world is counseling that comes directly from the Holy Spirit, maybe through a mouthpiece of a person who's being surrendered and obedient, but it's that counsel of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of this song. This is a new song by New Song. How about that?
Their hearts burn within them as they walked and as they talked about the things that they had seen. So many questions on their mind, but their eyes were blind to what his death would mean. Who is this man who walks with them and explains the mysteries? Could it be that he's the risen one?
Praise praise God. Every day he walks with me and he talks with me. Wow.
What's my Emmaus? What's he saying there?
Emmaus is the road to Emmaus I taught on two or three weeks ago, where the two disciples after the resurrection, the day that Jesus came out of the tomb, they were walking to the little town of Emmaus. And they, as they were walking, they were talking about everything that Jesus had done and how his body was missing. And he started walking with them. So that's Luke chapter 24, and that's really cool.
And Alice has a nice tattoo, by the way.
She does, doesn't she? She does.
She won't get in trouble like the Ohio State football coach.
No, she won't. Thanks for pointing that out, Bill. Yeah. All right. It, even in that song, you hear the same concept that he walks with me and he talks with me.
Yeah, that was cool.
Isn't that cool?
That was cool.
Yeah, it's a new song by New Song. So anyway, so we're back to, we're talking about the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit means... it means seven things. So it starts out, it means, I've memorized these alphabetically. Advocate, so he's your attorney. He's your counselor, your comforter. I guess comforter would come first. Comforter, because he comforts us like he's done this week with so many of us. He's our counselor. And that, I mean, he really does want to counsel us. He wants to tell us, you know, hey, think about it this way instead of that. You know, do this and try that. You know, I mean, he really wants to get involved with our lives. Have you noticed that, Alice?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, he wants to be in every part of our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I've explained this before about, you know, how can you have this relationship with God and, you know, he's God,
right.
You know? And I always explain it to people, you know, it's like you have a friend.
Right.
Just two friends. Let's take two friends. And you have one that you talk to all the time.
Right.
Hey, dude, guess what happened? You know, I got a new car or you know, I whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I had a hamburger for lunch, you know, and this person you're talking to all the time on the phone.
Right.
And then you have this other friend that you never really talk to very much, except, you know, maybe like once on a, you know, once a week on a Sunday, you say, oh, hey, how you doing? All's well here.
Right.
Who are you going to have a better relationship with?
Absolutely.
You're going to have a better relationship.
Who's going to know you better?
Right. You're going to have a better relationship with that friend that you have shared every single detail of your life with. That's the kind of relationship that God wants.
I'm sitting here going, you know, if we spent as much time as the amount of time that we spend on Facebook and Twitter posting, you know, I had a hamburger for lunch. You
right.
know, ugh, I have to go to work today. That's what you need
That's
to do.
That's why I'm
God.
Not on Facebook and Twitter. That, you just said
I mean,
it right there. I don't have
it.
Time for that.
You know, I mean...
I don't want y'all knowing what I had for lunch anyway, by the
but,
way.
But, I mean, you think about it. I mean, you're talking about that. I'm like...
Seriously.
You need to get up in the morning instead of going, ugh, I'm 15 minutes late. God, ugh, I'm 15 minutes late. You know, spend as much time...
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because that is... something that's been on my heart about the generation that has developed in the last few, what, a year or two, where the social media, that's people, you rarely see somebody walking along without looking down at their phone
right.
and doing something on it.
Right.
I've been noticing that lately, that most people, even driving, have their hands, you know, busy and their eyes looking down, and that's scary place. If you're in another car near them. But I mean, that's a really good point, Deb.
And
it really is.
And you talk about, you know, have their eyes looking down. It reminds me of something that a pastor friend of mine said to me one day. You know, I had gone down for prayer. And when I got down there, I fell on my knees in front of the altar and was praying. And I was kind of bent over looking at the floor. And he walked up behind me, and he squatted down, and he whispered in my ear, quit looking at the floor. Look up. Look up at what God has for you.
Ooh, praise God.
If you're constantly
yes.
looking down
yes.
instead of looking at
Woo,
the road in front of
baby.
You,
baby, yes,
you know,
that's
you're
exactly
have that
right.
collision. And if you don't look up and see what God's got for you, it's the same thing as texting in your car.
Right.
You know, or walking down this. I saw somebody at the mall one day texting, and they ran into a plate glass wall. The glass didn't break. It was funny. It was funny, but they weren't looking.
But that is what's going on with our society right now.
Yeah.
It is so absorbed in telling the details, the little tiny details. And almost, to me, it's almost a cry to somebody care what I had for lunch. Please care.
Right.
And
you know? Kind of weird.
This just came to me, and I have never thought of it this way before, and I know this is God telling me this. I mean, I text you all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sometimes, most of the time I do it because I know how busy you are, and it's easier just to send you a text than on the phone. But you talk about this generation that everything is so social media oriented that, you know, to I cannot believe I'm saying this. This is the work of Satan because we have stopped this one-on-one, face-to-face conversation with people.
Exactly. And it's time to realize that God wants to walk and talk with us. And we, in order to build lasting, really good relationships, it needs to have some FaceTime.
Right.
Not Facebook.
FaceTime.
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 Right.
You know, and nothing against Facebook. I mean, a lot of people do it.
You know, nothing against modern technology.
Not at all. I need it for my job, but still.
When Deb and I moved, you know, back here to Florida, we left family.
Right.
Back in the Houston, Texas area.
Sure.
And
it helps, doesn't it?
It does help. We're Skype now with you know, family members, and so that we can see each other face to face once a week.
We're not saying that it's bad.
Yeah.
We're just saying if you're going to spend 10 minutes on Facebook or Twitter, how about spending 10 minutes with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, you know? And that's, I think, what we're trying to say here.
Now,
really?
Is God going to have to open up a Facebook page? Is God going to have to open up a Twitter account?
I wonder if he has one.
I don't know.
Well, okay, so Jesus said that the Paracletos is the advocate, the comforter, the counselor. How can you get counseling if you don't talk to a counselor?
Thank you.
Seriously.
No, you can't.
I mean, if you go to a counselor and you submit yourself to that counselor, and you don't listen to anything they say, and you don't say anything to them. I mean, it's just you're just sitting there, and everything's quiet in the room. You're just looking around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but see, here's the other side of that. There's somebody out in radio land right now sitting there going, okay, yeah, you know, you're going to tell your problems to the Holy Ghost. You're going to tell your problems to God. And here you're sitting here saying, how can you get counseling if you don't talk to the counselor?
Right.
They're going to say, well, yeah, but he doesn't talk back to you.
But he does.
Yes, he does.
But he does.
But he does. And this is what I think the average person out there has a hard time believing. Until you've experienced it, and when we start the next hour, I'm going to give you some scripture for this. Until you have experienced how God talks to you and that the Spirit of God really does get involved in your daily life and speak directly to you, sometimes there's a lot of different ways, which we'll talk about. So we'll do that in just a couple minutes when the new hour starts. But let's finish these seven. Advocate, comforter, counselor, helper. I don't know about you, but we all need help.
Mm-hmm. Some of us more than others.
There you go. We need a helper in our lives,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Intercessor, somebody praying for us. And the last two I love, strengthener. And stand by. Oh, my. He's my strengthener. And I'll tell you, there have been a whole lot of times in the last few weeks with a lot going on in my life, moving, and then all this with Jeannie, and then just a lot of things going on where I have supernaturally needed strength to get through. And he has always, always supplied it. Yeah. Always.
See, and I will say that you're a walking poster child for that, because I don't see how you do the things you do and the amount of time.
I don't know how I do the things
God gives you in one day.
I mean, seriously, real estate has started after 20 years, and then the last 4 years being real slow. It's really picked up, and I have been extremely busy. And my days usually are 12, 13-hour days now. And with that going on and the stuff in the ministry and everything, it has been hard. I got to tell you, it is. And I can honestly tell you that God Almighty is my strengthener. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And he's my standby. He's always there standing by ready. Hey, you need something? Let me help you.
Yep.
I love what Graham Cook says on one of his CDs. I love Graham Cook's CDs. You can, by the way, go to, iTunes and download some of his sermons.
iTunes.
Really good. Graham Cook from England. Although he lives in California now. And he talks about how the Holy Spirit is always going, let me help you with that. I can do that. I can do that really well. That's my specialty. I love it when Graham Cook goes into that little tirade. That's my specialty. Let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. Alice, let me just do that for you. Let me help you. Oh, do you want help with that? Let me help you. You know, and I just love that because it's so true, because that's such a picture of the Holy Spirit going, I can help you with that. You don't have to do that by yourself.
Right.
Let me help you with that. You say you don't know how to make your budget come together. The Holy Spirit goes, let me help you with that. You know? Or you don't know how to get through the trauma that you're going through right now, or maybe you're facing something that happened to you in your childhood, and you go, how am I going to face that? And the Holy Spirit's going, let me help you with that. I'm really good at that. Let me be your counselor. Let me be your strengthener, you know? I don't know about you, but that just blesses me. I mean, Jesus is saying, hey, I've been here with you, but I'm getting ready to leave, but I'm sending you something much better than me. I'm sending you the sevenfold Spirit of the living God, and that is, he is going to be your advocate, your comforter, your counselor, your helper, your intercessor, your strengthener, and your standby.
Let me help you with that ID.
ID, let's do that.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hey, thank you, Bill, for the help right there for station identification.
That was good, Bill.
And that was good. We got to hand it to you. That was pretty quick. Thinking on your feet there, boy. All right. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are based in Clearwater, Florida, but we are around the globe, and we have a lot of listeners in a lot of different parts of the globe. And we thank each one of you that listens. Some of you are actually financial partners with us, and anybody can be a financial partner. There is no obligation, no set amount that you need to give or whatever. It's just a matter of wanting to help support the ministry that's coming forth, isn't it, Alice? Do you want to comment on that? Because they can actually go to our website, PayPal.
Yeah, if you want to go to the website, beaconofhopeministries.com, there's a PayPal access there. And, you know, if you feel led to give, give what God asks you to give. And if you don't necessarily feel led to give financially, please pray for the ministry.
Right.
Because we can all use your prayers, and I know that God will bless you for, you know, when you pray for other people. So
absolutely. And those that do support the radio ministry, actually, Beacon of Hope is in our 10th year. We're going to have a big old 10-year celebration this fall in October. That's going to be wild. But we're also in our 5th year on the radio. So the radio ministry is a proven part of Beacon of Hope, and it's every Sunday afternoon live from 4 to 6 Tampa time. That's 2 full hours of spreading the word and giving you great, mostly contemporary music that's going to bless you, and chat that like we've been doing right now where we're just relaxed talking about God in our lives. And I just find the radio ministry is such a blessing to me. I had a radio show in Indiana when I pastored there. And boy, the times were a little different. This was back in the 80s, late 80s. And I actually was on 2 radio stations for 5 years, but 2 different cities. But I had to go into the radio station like 3 days prior. And I did my own engineering in a little cubicle and these were reel-to-reel tapes, you know, great big old things. And I had to, you know, do all push that, you know, record and do whatever. 30-minute shows is all they were. And that was so many years ago, but we had a lot of people that listened and really were helped by the ministry back then. And it's been a part of my life for a long time, and I love radio ministry. And I'm so glad now it's 2 hours instead of 30 minutes, because I have a whole lot more to say than 30 minutes. Don't you think, maybe? I don't know. What has the radio ministry done for you, Pastor Dim?
It's giving me...
You enjoy it, don't you?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's giving me an outlet for my motor mouth.
Oh, there you go. We need that, right? Those of us that like to talk a lot.
Well, you know, we're talking about being truthful.
Sure,
so,
sure.
It's really expanded my knowledge of God's Word, because it's an... You know, yes, it's a radio show, but we're 3 friends sitting here just, you know, like a ping pong game, just bouncing the word back and forth.
Right.
And what are you thinking? What are you thinking? What
and
does
not
it mean
planned.
To you?
I mean, we have a general idea that we were going to talk about the Holy Spirit today, but you guys didn't know anything else, did you?
No. And I mean, because when I came in here, I had it open to I think I was in, I'm not real sure where I was.
Okay.
I think I was in Mark. I don't know. So it's just, it's really expanded my understanding of the word because of the way we talk about it.
Right.
It makes it more real.
It does.
Practical. Years ago when the Lord called me into the ministry, which was way back when I was 16, there was a, the part of my vision is this, practical Christianity, practical Christian living, teaching people how to put in daily practice what they learn in the Word. That is my vision. And we were talking today at Beacon of Hope about our vision and what we are trying to accomplish. And it's a ministry that's open to all people. Race, does not matter what your race is, doesn't matter anything about you. You can be striped. You can be, you can be, you know, any nationality.
You can be
multicolored. You can be multicolored like Alice. Alice, you are, you have a Chinese mother and you had a British father.
Yes.
And, a lot of us have descent from different countries and so forth. Some of us are gay. Some of us are straight. Some of us are pink. Some of us are blue. Some of us are cute. Some of us aren't. And, but we all love the Lord. And you know what? That's what it's all about. And so we're glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life today. You can go to our website, beaconoffolkministries.com. And learn more about the ministry. Alice, I've got to go to you about the prayer ministry and tell them about that. We do. We talk about it every week because it's so vital to this ministry.
The prayer ministry is a pretty awesome thing. Basically, what happens is, you know, people have a need in their lives, whatever it may be, or they know somebody who has a need. And if they'll send an email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, that will come to myself or Pastor Deb or Pastor and Pastor Jim and Pastor Marcia.
Right.
The four of us get that. And one of us will then take that. Usually it's the first one that gets it. We'll take that, send a, add a prayer to it, so that the people on the prayer list can see the actual request, and then we attach a prayer and send that out to everybody that's on the prayer team. And that way, you know, people could be sitting at their desk at work, and this email will come up, and they can read it. And as they're reading the prayer, they can be in agreement with that prayer.
Amen. Happens all the time.
And immediately be in agreement. Everybody's praying
Praise
the
God.
Same thing.
Right.
You know, everybody's in agreement. And God works miracles.
Oh,
he really
it's just
does.
Amazing. I love our prayer ministry. It's like 4 years old, I think.
Yeah.
And it's prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And if you want to be on the radio team, I'm not on the radio team, the prayer team, you can be.
Same email address. Just send us an email. So, hey, add me to your list. I'd like to pray with you.
Amen.
You
know? So that's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's just a great part of our ministry at Beacon of Hope. And it stretches around the globe. And I know we mentioned this last week, but we've had requests as far as Australia and other countries.
Right.
So we thank God for that. So praise God that
Amen.
Whoever's listening out there and you have a prayer need, write us. You can do it right now. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Actually, you can contact me personally, which is going to come up right here on the screen right now. If you want to comment or ask a question or anything like that, or a shout out. And it's pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. Listen to this song. It's a great one, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Secure from all along.
On the Everlasting Arms, but it's actually just a new tune to a real old song.
That was good.
Isn't that good? That's really good.
Bart,
you like that?
Bart Millard?
Bart Millard.
Almost like Bart Starr.
Close. Anyway, we're glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm Pastor Marcia along with Deb and Alice today. Go with me now to two verses, John 14, verses 25. Actually, there's three verses, 25, 26, and 27. Reading from the Message Bible, I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. This is Jesus talking. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. If you take notes, write this down. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes things plain to you. He opens your understanding. What does your Living Bible say there in verses 25?
I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you.
Okay.
But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you.
Okay. Wow. Go ahead. Comment on that, Alice. You're excited about this.
I am excited because my favorite word is in there. That's
what?
In the Bible. Will.
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 Will. He will make everything plain to you.
Ooh.
Will. That's a promise.
He will
and
teach you all things. Will remind you of everything.
And that's one of those things that when you pray, you can say, God, your word says that you will do this.
That is good. I see why that's your favorite
and
word.
You can claim
there
that.
There you go. All right.
Because those are promises from God.
Amen. And in the Message Bible, it says he's going to make everything plain to you. And remind you of the things that Jesus said. And I love that. So one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit here, if you take notes, is to make things plain and clear. To make things simple. And I try to do that in my teaching. I mean, I want it to boil down to the simplest denominator, you know?
It's the truth.
It's the truth. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the truth.
Yes, he is. And so he makes it plain.
Mm-hmm.
Why does he make it plain?
Because we are simple-minded.
Okay, speak for yourself there, Deb. No, I agree, we are.
Well, you know, I mean, Jesus taught in parables.
Right, he did.
Because that was something that people understood.
Exactly.
You know, with the Holy Spirit, if you don't get it, he's going to lay it out step by step by step.
Right.
And it's just amazing how, like you said, if you're having problems with your budget.
Right.
You know, that happened to us. We were having a budget issue. We couldn't figure anything out, and we were praying. Basically, we were praying for that $1 million Ed McMahon check, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were praying, you know, okay, God, we need this much money. Okay, God, we've got to do this. We've got to do that. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Ghost just kind of whispered in our ear, hey, if you'll adjust that and then you'll adjust this,
right,
it'll all work out.
Right.
And we didn't need the money we thought we needed, you know, which I think is cool because God supplies all of our needs. Well, we may think we need that $1 million check from Ed McMahon.
Right.
Which, you know, he's dead now. So that would be really cool if he brought it.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost just puts that little thought.
Makes it plain. Makes it clear.
Makes it very simple.
Exactly.
You know, he didn't say, well, go back and look at your budget. I'm sure you'll figure it out.
He just shows you.
He just shows
you. He makes everything plain to you, all right? Then in the Message Bible, he will remind you of all the things I've told you. Now, this is one thing that I love. It's so cool about the Holy Spirit. He reminds you of stories that Jesus taught. I'm going to give you an example. When I was preaching this morning on 1 Kings 17, There is that part about the oil and the flour that the widow needed to make the bread for right. Elijah. And it reminded me, as I was preaching, not, this wasn't planned, I'm just giving you an example, this was not planned, it reminded me of the story of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, where all the religious people walked by the man who was laying there dying and bruised and beaten. Somebody had beaten him up and robbed him and left him for dead along the side of the road. And, you know, the Good Samaritan is the one who was an outcast, really, spiritually, religious-wise. And yet, when he sees this man, the religious leaders walk on by, but the Samaritan says, let me go help. And he pours in that oil and that wine, and he reminds us, the Holy Spirit did today in the sermon, reminds us of the significance of the healing of the Holy Spirit, which is symbolic. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Right. So that is so cool how God does that and reminds you what? Of the teachings of Jesus. That was a teaching of Jesus, the story of the Good Samaritan. You know what I'm talking about? How the Holy Spirit reminds you of stories of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you caught me at a loss for words.
All right. That's
wow. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know, you talk about the Good Samaritan, and I've never heard it put that way before, because I've never read, you know, and I don't think that I've ever read that, you know, he poured in the oil and the wine. I know that he gave him something to drink.
Right.
And he treated his wounds.
Right.
But I've never heard it put that way, that he poured in the oil and the wine. And, you know, when you put it in that context, I was like, oh, okay, because I know what the wine represents. I know what the oil represents.
Right, right.
And I've never thought about it in that way. But there's many a time where the Holy Spirit will remind us, you know, simple as, you know, you'll see a homeless person on the side of the road. And I don't know how many times I've seen a homeless person on the side of the road, and this scripture has come into my head, you know, when you do this to the least of these, you do this for me.
There you go. That's an example
of
that. Exactly.
And I mean, that's the Holy Spirit putting that in my head.
Absolutely. And trying to tell you something here. And so what Jesus is saying, he reminds you of all the things I've told you. So what happens is that as we study the word, as we study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the things that Jesus said when he walked this earth, the Holy Spirit has an incredible ability to remind us of some of those stories and some of those parables and some of those teachings, and they come alive on the inside of us when that happens. Did you have a comment to that, Alice?
I do. You know, I was speaking to a lady at our church today who, you know, I was trying to encourage her to read the Word more, read the Bible more.
Right.
And, you know, she came, it's not really an excuse, but she said the same thing that I've thought before and that I know, you know, all of us have felt at one time in our lives or another, that, yeah, I pick up the Word and I read it and I read a couple paragraphs and I just don't get it.
Right.
I just don't get it.
Oh, I've heard that for years.
And I asked her, I said, you know, well, do you pray before you start reading?
Right.
Well, no.
Okay. And do you just, like, open it somewhere? That's not usually a good plan.
Right.
You know, you
right.
should. In fact, at Beacon of Hope, a lot of times we go month by month. Every month, you know, we're all reading this particular book. We're not right now because we're studying the Holy Spirit, and we're just moving around through the Gospels and the New Testament. But a lot of times at Beacon, we have a book we're working on each month, you know, which gives people direction.
Right.
Know?
Right. Well, I just encouraged her. I said, you know, try praying before you start reading. Ask God to give you the wisdom and the knowledge that you need to understand what he's trying to tell you.
But absolutely.
But the other thing, too, is that because I've even prayed before I've read the Word and I didn't get it.
Right.
But see, that's where you take advantage of the people that God has put in your life.
Absolutely, Deb.
You know, the other members
of your
congregation,
leaders, yes.
your spiritual leaders, and say, hey, you know, I mean, how many times have I called you and said, I read this and I don't get it?
Right. Sure.
You know, because I was looking for something and it sent me on a total different path.
Right.
So, I mean, you
And it has a lot to do with your attitude, I think. When you sit down to read the Bible, I think a lot of people sit down with an attitude of, I'm going to try this. I don't think it's going to work, but I'm going to try it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Well, and that's why you've got the Message Bible.
Right.
Or the good old standby that's been around since the 70s, the Living Bible.
The Living Bible.
You know, if you have a problem, and I mean, I started out with that type of Bible and have graduated myself up to where, you know, I actually get part of the King James Bible
right,
now.
Right.
You know? But, you know, also have more than one version.
Absolutely. It helps so much. You know, back and forth, have something to refer to. It helps you understand the concept.
And they have that Bible now that's the Message Bible that has dual translation.
It's got NIV beside it. And that's what Connie uses. It's on one side, it's NIV, which is really a good, accurate translation. Message Bible is more of a paraphrase, but it helps us understand what the meaning of
what's
behind.
The concepts.
The concepts.
Right.
Look at this next concept in the next line here in John 15:26-27. He says, first I'm going to make things plain to you. Then he said, I'm going to remind you of stuff I said to you. The Holy Spirit's mm-hmm. going to do that. And then third thing he says, my parting gift to you is peace. Peace. I don't leave you the way you used to being left, feeling abandoned and upset. He says right there, here's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's go there a minute. The Spirit of God brings peace to you when you're reading the Word. If you are all confused and all frustrated, something's wrong. You need to stop what you're doing, take a minute, and talk to God and say, okay, maybe I'm reading something that isn't the best thing for me to read right now. Where do you want me to read? And what do you want me to learn? And you submit to the Holy Spirit and realize that the Holy Spirit is peace. So when you are in the right place, quote unquote, with God, as you read the Word, it's going to bring you peace. Okay? It really is. That's right. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring peace.
Well, and you said on a break a little while ago, Alice, you were saying that, you know, if it doesn't make you feel good, if you don't feel at peace, a decision that you've made or a step that you're going to take, if it doesn't feel good, then
not necessarily feel good, but if it doesn't give you that sense of peace.
Right, that's right. What you said, peace. The sense of peace, that it's not of God.
Well, peace, that God brings peace, the devil brings chaos. So it's peace versus chaos, guys. Mm-hmm. If I had a teaching board right here, like I do at Beacon, I'd be writing those words in big, huge letters. Peace versus chaos. The devil is all about chaos, because if he can keep you stirred up and keep everything in a tizzy, quote unquote mm-hmm. tizzy, T-I-Z-Z-Y, tizzy. If he can keep everything in a tizzy in your life and you like, oh man, I got to do this, I got to do that, and this one's mad at me and that's going on and da-da-da-da-da. If the devil gets you worked up like that, he's got you exactly
where he wants you.
Why, Deb? Why does he want you in chaos?
Because if I'm in chaos, I can't keep my eyes straight forward on God. I mean, we talked about that happened to me earlier today.
Right.
And, you know, I got to thinking about something that we'd been talking about, and I really got off on the wrong place, the wrong foot. And on the way over here, we were praying about the radio show, and I just told God, take that out of my head.
Right.
You know, take it away. Let me concentrate on the radio. And I have to say that God has answered my prayer.
Praise God.
You know, but at the same time, you know, I've also gotten some answers.
Right.
Because I gave it some thought. I talked it out.
Right.
You know, and I went to spiritual advisors.
Well, you did.
So, I mean, it's just amazing that the devil wants to keep you, you know, off balance, because when you're off balance.
Oh, that is a good way to put it. He yep. wants to keep you off balance, all kind of helter-skelter, right?
I mean, yeah, I mean, he wants to keep you off balance so that you're trying to get your balance back
right.
on that balance beam.
Right.
So you're not thinking about God. You're thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to fall off this balance beam, and underneath me is this whole pool of crocodiles, you know? Instead of looking down and realizing that those crocodiles are actually really soft mats, and if you'll just go ahead and fall and get it over with, God will be there to soften the blow.
Right.
And you can just get back up, and the devil won't have you off balance trying to get your balance
right.
anymore.
Exactly. That's a good point.
That's very good.
My only granddaughter, Rylan, is now 15, but when she started gymnastics when she was like 3. And I would go to these things and watch her. Oh, my gosh. This Nana had a hard time watching this little tiny thing up there on the balance beam and then doing these other things that she did. She used to fly through the air, you know, and hope a bar was there, you know, and then she'd grab a hold of it. And watching her, but she just had her concentration. She was so good. And she's not doing the competitions now that she was. But I tell you what, she excelled for her age, and she's pretty small, really. I mean, she's muscular and strong, but she's pretty small. But I can honestly say I watched my granddaughter really focus on that beam where she was going, walking, or she would usually do all these flips on it, you know, and that kind of crazy stuff. Can't even imagine. And I can't imagine why she wants to do that. But anyway, flying through the air, catching that, and had her eyes on that. And when you talk to her later, she's, no, I wasn't afraid. That just, I was having fun. I was enjoying. She had her focus where it needed to be. Comment on that, please.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's what God wants from us. God yes. wants us to have the focus where it needs to be, which is on Him.
Amen.
And there's so many times that Satan will try to distract us.
Absolutely.
And
he's the great distractor.
He's the, you know, like your granddaughter doing the gymnastics, you know. He's the baby crying in the audience that might distract her and throw her concentration off.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Or, you know, whatever it may be. But Satan wants to distract us so we're not walking on that
Amen.
Path. That
Amen.
God has set for us.
That's exactly right.
Right. And then, you know, when we start letting ourselves be distracted, because it is a choice.
It is a choice.
It is a choice. We let ourselves be distracted, and then we swerve away from what God has wanted
Ooh,
for
that
us.
That is so good. You know, and I would say to Rylan different times, well, how do you keep your focus like that? And she goes, well, I want to be the best. I want to score the highest for my age group. And that was her goal. She
right.
had a goal. And sure enough, I mean, you should see the awards that girl's got in her room. I mean, trophy after trophy. And it was because she had a goal. She had a vision of where she was going. And she concentrated on that and didn't let anybody in the audience, like you said, keep her from that. And guys, that is a perfect metaphor, really,
exactly.
for how we have to get our focus and keep it. Listen to this song by 10th Avenue North. It's called By Your Side.
Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? To where will you go, child? Tell me where will you run? To where will I'll be by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night. Whenever you call, then please don't fight. These hands that are holding you, my hands are holding you. Look at these hands at my side. Swallow the grave on that night when I drank the world's sin so I could carry you in and give you life. I wanna give you life, and I'll be by your side.
great song, By Your Side. That's a good song, contemporary Christian music song. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 17. Let's go there. Not where I was going to go, but the Holy Spirit said, we're going there, so we're going there. Colossians 3, 12 to 17. It's actually part of our vision for Beacon of Hope. And I'm reading out of the NIV. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and both dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Oh, we got to put something on here. With compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Oh, my. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And I love verse 15 of Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ. Let. That means you have a choice. Like you said, Alice, you have a choice. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen. Wow.
In the Amplified Bible, where it says that about peace, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, I've always loved this translation. The Amplified Bible, it says this: let the peace of God act as umpire in your life, settling with all finality the issues that confront you. Talk to me about that, Alice. The peace of God being your umpire.
Well, there's so many times that we have decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
Or, mainly it all boils down to decisions that we have to make. And you know, we may have two choices in front of us, three or more, and a lot of times we'll fret over making the decisions. Am I making the right decision?
Fret. Surely not. Fret.
And, you know, we don't know what the right decision mm-hmm. is. And you say, okay, well, I think I'm going to go this way. I don't know if that's really what God wants me to do, mm-hmm. or I really don't know if that's the best decision for me. I have found that if I pray about the decision, the decision that I make, if I after I've prayed, if I have peace about that decision, then I know that that's the way that God wants me to go. If I choose a different option and I'm still hemming and hawing about it, that's probably not the way God wants me to go, because there's no peace with it.
Because the devil is all about chaos, confusion, and condemnation. If you take notes, write those three C's down. You will find that that is a lot of the work of the devil. Chaos, confusion, and condemnation. Okay? Condemnation, because he wants to get in there and condemn you for whatever decision you make. He'll lead you down a path to making a bad decision, and then once you've made it, instead of congratulate you that you made the decision he led you to do, then he beats you up and condemns you because, oh, that wasn't a good idea. That was pretty stupid, right? So in other words, you are like, you can't win, you know, with the devil, because if he takes you down that path and you fall for the lie, then he condemns you for falling for the lie instead of congratulating you.
Right? And I think that's one reason it's important not to, I mean, when you have an important decision in your life, not to make that decision quickly.
Right.
Take some time to pray about it.
Right.
Take some time to seek God's word. Take some time to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Well, there's an old saying, and I love it. Satan rushes, God leads.
Right.
You'll find that many times in your life. How important, Deb, is this peace of God, and where does that come from? What are we saying on this show today? Where is the peace coming from? It's a gift to us from the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Okay, and why is that so important?
Because
Jesus said, I leave you peace.
Before the Holy Spirit came,
right,
one of the last things that Jesus said was, you know, I leave you with peace.
I leave you with peace.
You know, and I am quickly coming to understand that there is a peace through the Holy Spirit unlike any peace that you've mm-hmm. ever felt. And, I mean, I was asked today by Connie, you know, have you ever had peace in your life? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I'm looking at Connie, and she's going, no, you haven't. You know, and
because you're moving deeper in the things of
right.
God now.
I'm moving a lot deeper.
You're beginning
into
to understand
things.
The importance of peace all the time.
Right.
And not just occasionally for various reasons, but all the time, walking in peace.
Yeah.
That's what she was saying.
And I'm so interested and intrigued, if for no other reason than intrigued by this ultimate peace mm-hmm. that Connie talks about. And now, of course, we're in it. Hearing God's word, how interesting that we got there
mm-hmm.
because of our conversations earlier today. It's like, okay, I want that peace.
And as you see from Colossians 3, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, all those things. And as you begin to walk in that and you wear that wardrobe, peace is just it just happens from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and all of this stuff here, you know, one of the last things that Jesus said to the disciples is, I think his last greatest commandment was, you know, I want you to love others as I have loved you.
It's all about love.
And
it
it's
is.
All about love. And if you have, if you clothe yourself in this tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, you're exuding that love
Ooh,
to
that's
someone
so true.
Else.
One thing I want to point out, and because I think because I'm looking at the Message Bible and it says these
a little bit differently.
But one thing I want to point out, you know, people are thinking compassion, kindness, you know, humility, gentleness, that's so wimpy, right? But it's not. The Message Bible translates gentleness as a quiet strength.
I love that.
So it's not about being wimpy.
No, because you have to be very strong to do those things.
That's the title of Tony Dungy's book that I have on my end table that mm-hmm. I've had for years, that a friend of mine stood in a long line in a storm to get him to autograph personally for me. And the title of that is Quiet Strength.
Right.
And Tony Dungy is an example of that.
Right. And quiet strength is, yeah, it's not about being wimpy. It's about mm-hmm. you're strong. You're just not overbearing about it. You know?
And wasn't Jeannie an epitome of that?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking back about it's been 10 days ago when in the hospital the kidney doctor had to come and say to her, and she had been out of it pretty much and not really with it. And she woke up that day just like and ate pancakes and eggs and all kinds of stuff.
That was
you know,
weird.
She devoured all kinds of things. But how appropriate, because that day the kidney doctor needed her to understand that he had to take her off dialysis, that it was no longer working. And, you know, a lot of people to know that, to be told that, would just panic. That means you're going to die shortly,
right.
You know. And he couldn't answer that, and she didn't even ask him.
Right.
Well, and
she
no,
didn't even ask him how long she had.
But if you remember, you know, he said that, and she was, you know, she was like, okay, well, I agree to that. And I remember the doctor looked at her, and he said, Jeannie, you understand that when we do this, you're going to die. And Jeannie just looked at him and she goes, well, I'm going to die sometime anyway, so okay.
Yeah.
You know,
it was
a peace.
And she had such a supernatural, God given peace right then, I believe.
Right. No, I believe so too.
You know, and for her to realize that with her full mind and understand that she was going to soon be in the arms of Jesus. And that's what Jesus has left us. He's left us peace. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. Listening audience, listen, hear me. If you don't hear anything else, God in you is all about you walking around with peace on the inside of you.
Right.
Not walking around all beat up and with chaos and confusion and bewilderment and guilt and anxiety and all that stuff, but instead walking around with the peace of God.
Right.
And, you know, I finally figured out after all these years that how much energy I expounded, like in traffic, somebody cuts me off and I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, now I just like, you know, God bless you.
It's interesting, isn't it, when you begin to walk in that peace.
There's so much, I have so much more mm-hmm. energy, and I don't wear myself out. It's a lot easier when I get frustrated now to just, okay.
Right.
And turn around and walk away than to have to put my mind through all this. Okay, what am I going to say, and how am I going to say it, and, you know, how am I going to tick you off, and it's just, it's a whole different
ballgame. You learn a different way of living and reacting, but it has everything to do with the first part of this Colossians 3:12, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves with compassion. You put it on. Kindness, humility. These are decisions we make. We have choices every time somebody interacts with us. Are we going to walk in compassion, kindness, love, humility, gentleness, or are we going to react with, you know, something like that? We have those choices to make, you know?
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit is all about peace in the midst of the storm. And oh my, that leads us into this song by the group Down Here, Calmer of the Storm.
When everything is wrong, the day has passed and nothing's done. When the whole world seems against me. When I'm rolling in my bed, there's a storm in my head. I'm afraid of sinking in despair. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing me. Will change my life and bring you glory. Hail on the storm, I am learning to let go of the will that I so long to control. I'm amazed at the power of your will. 'Cause I'm a child of little faith. I feel the wind and forget your grace. And you say, peace be still. Teach me, Lord, to have faith in what you're bringing.
That song. Again, this is how the Holy Spirit does the music on this show. So often, I just give Connie a theme. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And she listens to the Lord, and look at this, how every single one of these songs, again today, the words have just fit in exactly to what we're talking about.
It couldn't have been planned any better.
No. And we never know. We just totally let the Holy Spirit lead through the entire show. Calmer of the storm. So, here's the work of the Holy Spirit. He comes and calms your storm. It's not that hard, is it?
Nope.
And I mean, come on. We think that, oh, this awful thing. Ah! And we get so bent out of shape by circumstances, don't we?
We do. I mean, you know, I think we forget what's important.
We do.
Or
yes.
We have, not necessarily that we forget what's important, but we have different priorities in what God would want us to have. Yeah, I always feel that God wants us to put him first, family second, work third, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when you get your priorities not in that order, then it's easy to get worked up and concerned about, you know, what's going on in the office and this and that. And I'm not saying not to have importance on your, you know, not to put importance on your job, because of course that's important, but the main thing is to focus on God. You know, if the focus is on God and if you're focusing on your walk with God, then it's going to be a whole lot easier to have that sense of peace, because God gives you that peace. When you seek Him and you follow the path that He has set out for you, yeah, it's so easy to just stay on that road and have that peace.
And in these verses in Colossians 3:12, it gives us specifics on what to put on.
Right.
What are those again, Deb?
Clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you.
Oh, my, forgive.
Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as a member of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful.
Why is forgiveness such an important component of living in peace?
Because if you're harboring any anger or upset towards someone, you cannot be at peace. Because you're in chaos.
You're in chaos.
You're in the middle of chaos. And you know, we talked about this the other day, you know, about forgiving someone.
Right.
You know, and God doesn't say forgive and forget. You know, God says forgive in your heart and move forward.
And forgiveness really means you let go of the debt they owe
you.
They don't owe you anymore. And instead, you are on a different path towards really just letting it go. Just letting it go. And not harboring it anymore.
And that does not necessarily mean that that person has to apologize to you for what they did. You are forgiving them for the transgression, whatever it is, and you're letting it go. You're forgiving
them. They don't owe you anymore.
They don't owe you anything.
Right.
You know?
And so often, we as human beings, we want somebody to make it right. Don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why we don't have peace, because we walk around thinking, if they would just say this to me, I'll be okay now.
But you know what? If you give it to God, God will make it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you harbor unforgiveness, you know, for whatever the offense may be, and perhaps you're angry about a certain situation, if you pray to God and say, God, okay, I'm really angry about this, but I'm giving this anger to you.
Right.
You hold this anger. I'm going to forgive.
Exactly.
And when you make that choice, God will take that anger and give you the peace that you need to forgive the transgression.
And all the way through the teachings of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so many times Jesus weaves in the concept of forgiveness. Forgiveness is vital to being set free. Forgiveness is vital to listening clearly to God talking to you, because a lot of times we can get sidetracked and think God's saying this, but we're walking around in bitterness or unforgiveness, and so we may think God is saying, write that nasty letter to Aunt Sue, you know, tell her what you think, you know, and you think, oh, God, all right, that's a good idea, and we blame so many things on God that are not coming from God. They're going through the filter of unforgiveness.
And one thing we have to keep in mind, too, is that God is not asking us to do anything that He hasn't already done Himself.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the times that each one of us individually has turned against Him,
right,
has done something against what He has asked us to do or according to His Word,
right,
and how willing He is to forgive us without us even asking.
Amen.
I mean, you know, I told somebody today that, you know, if you were the only person ever on this earth who ever committed a sin, who ever did something against what God wanted, God would still have sent His Son for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
That's how much He cares about each one of us, you know. And so God's not asking us to do anything more than He's already done. He
Absolutely.
Understands the importance of forgiveness so much that He sent His Son here to take all the bad stuff we did upon Himself so that He could easily forgive us.
Amen. And if there's anybody out there in our listening audience today that is not sure of where you're going if you died tonight, right this moment is the time. Deb, I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me, this prayer, the sinner's prayer for salvation. If you need to pray that prayer, say it with Deb as she repeats after me. And you can, in this moment in time, be guaranteed and assured that you are going to heaven if you should die tonight or anytime. You are the child of the living God. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sins and my sicknesses.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that I need to repent of all the things I've ever said or done.
I believe that I need to repent from all the things that I have either said or done.
That were not pleasing to you, Father.
That were not pleasing to you, Father.
I want to turn away from those attitudes, those times of unforgiveness, all of it.
I want to turn away from those attitudes, those times of unforgiveness, all of it.
And I want you to save my soul.
And I want you to save my soul.
And forgive me for all of that.
And forgive me for all of that.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior, Jesus.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior, Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Live in me.
Live in me.
Teach me how to walk in peace.
Teach me how to walk in peace.
And show me your path for my life.
And show me your path for my life.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior.
I receive you now as my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
If you prayed that prayer with us, we want to hear from you. And you can write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we will talk with you via the internet. We'll even call you if you like, and we will minister to you. We've got just a few minutes. Deb, I'm going to start with you with some final thoughts of what you feel like we've been trying to say today and how it's impacted your life and maybe some final kind of pull it all together thoughts.
How it's impacted my life. I used to cuss like a sailor.
Oh, wow.
I used to party pretty hard. I don't do any of that anymore. So much so that I've been known, I can't say I don't do any of that anymore. That's not true. I've been known to drop a four-letter word every once in a while.
And you're working on that, aren't you?
And I'm working on that. But you know what? When I'm in a situation where somebody's really dropping the four-letter words, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard to me now.
Right.
It really bothers me. You know, I don't feel the need to go out and party on the weekends anymore. Right. You know, it's not important to me to go out and get drunk and see what a fool I can make of myself because I know I can make a fool of myself when I'm not drunk. So God has showed me all this stuff.
Right, sure.
God has made me a more responsible parent.
Right.
God has made me a more wise and responsible grandparent.
Right.
God has repaired my relationship with my own parents, which was a blessing because my mother passed in 2008. And I could honestly say that for whatever things that I thought I had been wronged, as a child, I had forgiven my mother for, and we had talked about these things. So, you know, God has really made a huge difference in my life.
Amen.
I've had people that I grew up with that are like, whoa, you know, and I have to tell them, okay, you know, I'm really not that much different. I just believe in God now. And
yeah.
So, I mean.
But God, they think you're different, huh?
They think I'm different until they spend time with me, and then they just see that, yeah, okay, I don't cuss that much anymore, and, you know, I'm not going to go out and party with them, but I mean, that's just me.
Right.
You know? So, and as far as wrapping up everything that we have talked about, I think that this passage in Colossians is just a perfect wrap up of everything we've talked about today. And I just want to say that to me, it's imitate Christ's compassion and his forgiving attitude. Let love guide your life. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Always be thankful. Keep God's word in you at all times and live as a representative of Jesus Christ.
Ooh, that's right on stuff. Thank you for sharing, Alice.
I think the thing that I'm taking away from our conversation today is that this peace, it's a gift from the Holy Spirit.
It is a gift, yeah.
And it's our choice. Mm-hmm. whether or not we open up that gift,
right,
or leave it sitting on a shelf.
Right.
So I think it again boils down to priorities.
Right.
How important is that piece? I mean, some people really thrive off the chaos in their lives,
right,
you know, and other people, they don't like it. And for those of you that are not enjoying all this chaos in your life, all these problems that seem to spring up, all the uncertainty and anxiety and depression, and, you know, I can think of all kinds of things. But if you don't like that stuff in your life, there's an answer.
Right.
And the answer is to open up that gift of peace that the Holy Spirit has already given to you.
Amen.
It's there. All you have to do is accept it.
Amen. And walk in it and learn what God wants to give you. Wow. It's been a great discussion today on Living the Good Life. I always have a good time on these radio broadcasts and enjoy it, Alice and Deb, when you are here. And now that you've moved back from Texas, it's even more fun because we're not battling the phone or the Skype line. So it's pretty good. So anyway, for those of you listening today, if you only caught part of the show and want to get the rest of the conversation, our dear engineer Bill usually gets me the show sometime Sunday night or Monday morning, and then we get it on our website by about noon on Mondays usually. It is all these shows from the last year and a half are on www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You can go there. You can listen to this one after tomorrow afternoon. And you can listen to some on this series of the Holy Spirit in the last 4 or 5 weeks that we've been teaching. There's been some really good shows, and I think they'll really bless you and help you in your walk with the Lord. And that is the website again, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. We have just changed our Sunday morning service time back to 10 o'clock instead of 11, as it was for the last couple of years. We've gone back to the 10 o'clock time. And part of that reason is because, like today, we had nursing home ministry, and there's a lot to do all days on Sundays with church and nursing home ministry and then the radio show. So, morning, 3700 Almerton Road, Suite 206. We want you to join us. We are easy to find right off of 275. Take the Almerton exit and go up a few blocks, and we are there behind Five Guys. So we welcome you to our Sunday morning service at 10. And Wednesday night, that service is at 7. Bible study, bring your Bible and a notebook, and come get ready to have a good time of sharing. You can even bring your dinner, and you can eat well, because we have tables set up. So it's a good time on Wednesday nights. Fun. Mm-hmm. Starts with prayer meeting at 6:15. So we hope to see you soon at Beacon of Hope. If you live in the Tampa Bay area, if you're visiting, come visit us. Sunday mornings at 10, Wednesday night at 7. Go to our website to find out more about the ministry of Beacon of Hope, my books, and other things that God is doing. And we welcome you to continue to show up listening to this show on Sunday nights.
Amen.
And Sunday afternoons, I guess. Tell a friend. Invite them to listen. God bless you. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Deb, and Alice, all the way from Houston, and all of you joining us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Have a great week. If we can help you, you can write me personally, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have a prayer request, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. Have a good week. See you next week.